Well, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll look at verse 9 to 16 as our main text. And we're going to continue on the subject of spiritual understanding, and how important that is. Now, we've kind of looked at some of these thoughts. We're going to tie them all together and kind of conclude it today. But have you ever ran into somebody that was so smart they were stupid? I think we've all ran into somebody like that. I've never had that problem, you know, where I was so smart, you know. I mean, I'm adequately educated, but I mean, I'm just not overly smart in some areas. Now, information is important, but it's not as important as the ability to use the information for common good, right? You know, that's what wisdom is, the ability to use information. And there are two systems that are working simultaneously right now, even as I speak in the world. There's two systems right at flow right now. One is God's system, and the other is the world system or Satan's system on how they work, and then it all depends on what we're going to tap into. Now, if we want to operate in God's system, then we need to learn how to process information God's way. And God's Word reveals to us how we can do this. And we're going to look at that right now. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 16, it says, "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and things which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those that love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the anointing here that's be able to break every yoke of bondage, any stinking thinking that's in our head, Lord, that holds us back from receiving revelation knowledge. We break its power in the name of Jesus. Lord, we open ourselves up to what the Spirit of God says to the church today. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from stealing it out of our hearts and minds in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, little recap about what we've looked at so far. Number one, we've seen from this passage that God loves everybody. Thank God for that, right? You know, even if you feel that nobody else loves you, God loves you. And that ought to amount to something. But only the ones that love Him back will get all the good things that God has prepared for us. Now everybody say, "I want the good stuff." Amen. God has good stuff. But to receive it, we got to love Him back. And if you look at the word love, I don't know what it means to you when you love somebody, what you do for that person. Then think about that, how it ties in with God. Then we can all admit, I believe, that we could all go deeper with God. No matter where we're at in our walk with God, we could always go deeper. And I looked at the illustration of how I considered God like an ocean. A lot of times we float out in the boat and we're out there fishing or doing something. We think we snagged something for God. But we really need to be a submarine to go down deep in God where we see the good stuff. And the Holy Spirit, you know, this is not, I'm not saying He is this, but it's like the Holy Spirit is our submarine that takes us down to reveal to us the great things. I like watching them shows on, you know, the History Channel or whatever they are, Geographic or whatever. I like seeing what's really down under the ocean. Some of that stuff's really cool. You know, some of them big squids and all those big animals that you can't see them on the top. And see, God has so many things in the Scripture that, you know, we can't see where we're at right now, but if we allow God to take us, then we can get there, and then He'll reveal them to us. Then we looked at the idea there's a difference between the natural man and the spiritual man. I believe we kind of covered that last week, and especially how the natural man cannot understand the things of God. It just don't click. It's like they're speaking another language. I don't know if about you, but I've been in other countries, and, you know, sometimes you go up there, and, you know, I knew enough Greek to be dangerous. I'd go up and flip out the two or three words I knew in Greek, and then they'd start, you know, just talking. I'd say, whoa, 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 Ligo Elenika. Ligo Elenika means little Greek, you know. I don't know very much. But see, that's what the natural, I was a natural man. I couldn't understand their language, and same with God. Next, it gets a little more close to home. It says, we need to be careful we don't become a carnal or worldly Christian. It can happen, people. We can start off real good. Have you ever found out in life, I have, it's easy to obtain something, but it really takes a lot of effort to maintain it. It's easy to go buy a car, you just got to sign something. But then that thing, you got to change the oil, you got to check the tires, you know, all this stuff, you just, you know, there's so much. And it's like that with our walk with God. We got to maintain it. I mean, we got to put a little effort into it and keep the things alive and vital, just like in your marriage or your relationship. If you don't maintain your marriage or your relationships, you will be alone. Right? That's just a fact alive. Now today we're going to look at verses 15 and 16. I'm going to read those again before we start. It says, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Okay, so we're going to look at being a spiritual person, then we're going to get over into the idea of having the mind of Christ and how important it is to have the mind of Christ. You may say that sounds hard. It's not really as hard as you think, but it does take a little bit of, you know, desire upon our part. Now, the word appraise here is talking about to discern or to judge or to examine accurately or carefully, to inquire, ask questions in order to pass a judicial sentence. Think about that. We're supposed to appraise things. Now, there's a lot of things out in the world, isn't there? Remember I said there's two systems functioning right now. We got God's system, we got the world system. Sometimes they look similar to each other. Just like when Jesus said that you got to separate the sheep from the goats. Now, with my vast amount of farm knowledge, I was lived on a farm for 18 years almost. I could tell the sheep from the goats. But that's talking about a certain species that those two kind of look very similar to each other. Unless you look at them really close. And so some of the things in the world are hard to really understand and to cipher through to see, you know, is this God or is this something else or whatever the case may be. But that's why we need to be spiritual so we can appraise things. Now, if you have a ring, maybe it was passed down to you from your grandmother or great-grandmother, and you don't know how much it's worth, where do you go? You go to an appraiser, and they will tell you what it's worth. Why? Because they have the experience. They know. And see, that's what we need to do when it comes to things of God. We need to be able to praise things. Now, have you ever heard somebody say this? Don't judge. How many times maybe have we said that? We usually say it when we're getting picked on, don't we? I mean, we can judge somebody, but when they judge us, oh, that's a little different story. Don't judge me. To be honest, this lie comes from the devil because it's only a partial truth. Amen. Did you know a partial truth is sometimes more dangerous than a total lie? See, a total lie, you can tell. But a partial truth just has enough truth in it to make you think that it's the truth, but really, it's off a little bit. Because when Scripture tells us to judge, now, you know, what happens is the fact that this lie here has paralyzed the true believers from making a moral stand, you know, in this great land of ours. Because we've been told, don't judge, don't judge. You can't judge, don't judge, don't judge. And when they do that, you get on, whoa, pull back. I don't want to judge people. You know, I don't want to do that. But see, what happens, about, you know, it talks about, you know, we're not supposed to judge people to make ourselves better than somebody else. That's really contextually what that passage is talking about. There's some people that judge other people's to make themselves feel better. And that's wrong. And you and I never have the power to decide who's going to heaven or not. How many would want that responsibility? Oh my goodness, that would be rough. Some would just let them all in, some wouldn't let one in. You know what I mean? Depending on their personality. Only God has that ability to judge that. We don't. But what we're supposed to do is if we're smart and we're spiritual, we're going to judge things in order to protect ourselves, in order to protect our families. Parents, if you're not judging the world around you and discerning spiritually what's good and what's bad for your family, you are falling short. We have to be wise. It's our responsibility. And don't let the enemy lie to you when you judge things. If you have a teenage kid and they're running around with somebody who's you know, smoking dope and drinking beer and carrying on and getting all kinds of trouble, you read their name in the paper all the time about, you know, stuff, and you say, you know, I don't want you running around with that person. Oh, you're judging them. Yeah. I don't want you to get in that kind of trouble. It's only smart. No, I'm not judging that person. The reason what we judge, our judgment is not to condemn. Our judgment is for two things. Number one, to warn. Number two, to pray. So when we judge things spiritually and we do it the right way, we're going to warn people about a problem, and we're also going to know that we need to pray for that situation. We need to pray for that young person who has been led astray and getting in all kinds of trouble. You know, pray that God will save their soul just like God saved ours, praise God. Amen? We need to pray for them. That's our responsibility. We just don't toss them out. So by judging from a spiritual mindset, you know, you and I can discern what's the main influence behind something and whether we should be involved with it. You know, I remember an illustration when Denise and I just got married. And, you know, there was something going on. I don't want to go into the whole situation, but there was some person that was trying to bring flattery, you know, to my wife. It was another woman. You know, it wasn't somebody trying to hit on her or nothing. That would have been a different deal. You know what I'm saying? I'd have took matters into my own hands right then. But with this one here, they were trying to, because, you know, when my wife told me what was going on, that I says, you know, they're up to something. They're up to something. I know it. I could tell what they were up to. I mean, I just knew it spiritually. And lo and behold, about another week or two later, we found out that's what they were up to. They were trying to butter her up a little bit. I was just talking about you, hon, a little bit there. And now you came in, I just changed my story a little bit here, a little bit. But see, but that's because, you know, I could discern spiritually a little bit behind the line, read between the lines. You know, I could see things, and that's what's important, because the spiritual person finds out the why instead of just settling for the what. Remember that? A lot of people just want to know the what. I like to know the why. Why does it work that way? Once I understand the why, I'm locked in and locked on, man. I'll never let go. Now, I know this, and all as a disclaimer, there's not everything God's going to reveal to me, the why. But there's a lot of things He will, if you're spiritual and you're seeking after God. Now, I believe that living in these last days, Christians can't afford to accept things at face value. We need to have the ability to be able to read between the lines, to be able to see what's really going on in the situation and the world around us, so we will not be led astray. The Bible talks about a great falling away in the last days. And we could easily say, oh, that'll never happen to me. Well, usually the people that say that, it happened to them, amen? So we got to be careful. You know, be smart about things. Now, there's a benefit because of appraising all things. Now, we appraise everything, not just the things we like to appraise. The Bible says we can appraise all things. Number one, if we appraise all things, we won't be appraised due to the carefulness of our walk. If we're walking with the mind of Christ and from a spiritual mindset, as we look at things, we're going to walk in a level of truth and honesty and integrity. And then we won't have to be appraised, because due to that carefulness. You know, we got to be careful. I don't know about you, but I you know, there's some places you got to watch where you step. You know what I mean? You just got to watch where you step. I was raised on a farm. No more information needed, amen? You got to watch where you're going sometimes. Then we need to be in the center of God's will. That has a privilege. When we find the center of God's will, remember, we use the illustration that going down this hallway, I'm still in God's will here, and I'm still in God's will over here. And that's all fine and dandy, but when I'm right here, I'm right in the center. And it's better in the center. There's more blessing in the center because I'm right where God wants me to be. God gives a little variance, I believe, in our life to do some different things. But I do know, due to the closeness and the carefulness of our walk, we can get to the place where we can be in the center of His will. And you can look at Romans chapter 12 to be able to clarify that a little bit. Now, the mind of Christ. That's what we've been kind of leading to these last, this is week number 4 on this. How do we get the mind of Christ? Now, some people say it's sacrilegious to even say that, or think it, let alone say it. The mind of Christ. You can't have the mind of Christ. How can you have that? Well, the Bible says we can. And I'm naive enough to believe it. If the Bible says you can have something, then by all means, why not? Why not? Why not get it? Now, the Old Testament says, my ways are not your ways, and that's where some people live. Yeah, we can never know what God's doing. He's mysterious. Yes, He is. But He's also a God, a heavenly Father that loves His children and wants to reveal to them the great things that He has. And He wants to give it to them so they can know. You know, I like to tell my kids stuff. Do they listen? No. Right? Not all the time. Maybe later on they do. But I like to tell them stuff. Stuff that I think they need to know. That's part of being a good parent. And that's what our Heavenly Father's like. He's the best parent there is. He wants to reveal to us the things that we need to know. And that way we can walk in a better way. Now the Spirit came to live inside of us, and that's what sets us different from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people every now and then. Remember the Saul, the king. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came upon him one time, and he started prophesying with the prophets and different ones in the Old Testament. They would come. The Spirit of God would come upon them, and they would do something. Well, in the New Testament's different. The Spirit's on us, in us all the time. All the time. Every day. Once you're a believer, you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, the Holy Ghost comes to live inside of you. You're never alone. We don't feel Him all the time. But yet we need to understand the fact that that relationship is always there, and it can be enhanced, and it can be, you know, brought more clear by revelation. Now, I believe that sometimes you and I need to get our head on straight, because sometimes we look at things crooked. You ever done that? You know, I like a saying, I say it all the time, some days I'm just a half a bubble out of plum. It's like that. I just ain't seeing things straight. I remember I was working with a guy, and another guy hung something on the wall, and it was crooked, and we'd all go like that to make it look straight, like it was straight, you know, and stuff like that. Now, I don't know if some of you maybe have built a house before, but if you hired a carpenter to build a house for you, and you were spending, let's say, $200,000, that's pretty good money, isn't it? Would you want him just to eyeball it? Or would you want him to break out a level every now and then? Think about it. I mean, you can eyeball stuff. Good enough. That's all good till you go hang a door. Has anybody ever tried to hang a door in a crooked opening? Self-inflicted pain is the worst pain. I've done that. Back when I had my plastic level, praise God. I got this little plastic level, 4-foot level, and you can make it say anything you want if you bend on it hard enough. You know, I had to get a metal level if I wanted to get real, real good about it. Now, if you were honest, if we had a ruler here, I was going to get one out, but I didn't. Have you ever looked at a quarter inch on a ruler? It's not very big, is it? A quarter inch is nothing, you know? Now, a quarter inch and a foot, I can tolerate that. But if you're a quarter inch off when you're building something in 4 feet, how far are you off? Quick. 1 inch. Okay? Well, you know, an inch here or there. You know, when we was building the church, Brian will probably appreciate this. We had a carpenter, and he passed away now. He died, you know, suddenly of a heart attack. But he'd always say, what's a half inch in this big world? Well, when we were hanging the OSB, guess where we found the half inch? It was not there. You know, we had to always add pieces of wood here and there to make it fit. It's supposed to be measured on right so everything fits. You don't have to do extra work. Okay, so a quarter inch in 4 foot, that's an inch. I could maybe tolerate that. Okay, you're laying out your house. How much is a quarter inch in 40 feet? How many? 10 inches. Now, would you like to live in a house that was 10 inches off from one end to the other? That'd be rough, wouldn't it? Especially if you're paying $200,000 for that house. One end, it's 30 feet, and the other end, it's, you know, 29 feet, 2 inches. See, if you're just a little off, it may not make a difference today, but if you're a little off for the long haul, we can be really off. That's why we need to make sure we understand how the mind of Christ works. Now, the Holy Spirit, remember we read, knows the mind of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit knows the truth of what God is actually wanting to do, and it's easy for Him because He's God Himself, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all one, but yet we understand them in three persons. So the Holy Spirit, He's the one who wants to illuminate the Scripture, but He can only illuminate what we read and study, right? Now, sometimes God will talk to us, but for the most part, I've found in my life, it's easier for the Holy Spirit to bring a Scripture to my remembrance when I've read it. Duh. Right? Big revelation there. Big revelation. You got to read it. So by putting it in and keep putting it in, then we start to develop this mind of Christ. Now, Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind or attitude be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So here it's telling us it's possible. Another scripture, let everything be established by two or three witnesses. So here we see that it's possible. Another place in Scripture says we can have the mind of Christ. Now, the mind control battle's going on. Right now, like I mentioned, the devil and the world system are sending carnal thoughts to us, while the Holy Spirit is sending spiritual thoughts. Now, many of you have one of these gizmos at home. I think about everybody does. You know, a TV? When I was a kid, they were just black and white, you know. I'm old. But a TV. And back then, we had 4 channels, maybe. NBC, CBS, ABC, and every now and then, Channel 11, the one that had a lot of boring stuff on it sometimes. Lawrence Welk, I'm sorry. I know some of you guys like Lawrence Welk. I talked to somebody the other day that said how they love to watch Lawrence Welk. I go, I'll pray for you, man. That's all cool. Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, see, at any time, at any second, you can tune in to multiple things. And it's your choice what you tune into. Right? It's our choice. We can tune into anything. It all depends what we desire. And so that it comes back to, do we desire to tune in to the carnal thinking, which glorifies our flesh, the old nature, which is at enmity with God, which leads us astray from the truth, or do we want to tune in to God and the Holy Spirit and let Him reveal to us spiritual things so that we can walk in a deeper level of truth that God has for us? It's always there. We have that potential any time in our life. And He wants them spiritual things. Now, I feel that carnal thinking is the biggest learning disability that a Christian has to deal with. You know, I have a little bit of a learning disability to some things. You know, I invert numbers. You know, I'm not dyslexic totally, I don't think. You know, but I do know that I don't balance a checkbook. My wife does that. You know, I just know that I can write the checks, but I will have a tendency to invert two numbers back and forth for whatever reason. I just can't fix it. You know, I've never prayed about it. I guess it don't bother me bad enough, you know, to want to fix it. But, you know, but everybody has a little bit of a learning disability, probably of some things, what they can see or hear, how they interpret information. But see, carnal thinking is a learning disability. When our mind is focused on the things of this world, because the carnal mind is at enmity with God. And whatever we consider, whatever we focus on, now I know that we have to work in this world. You have jobs, you have things you have to do. But you can't let that carnal thinking consume us, because in time it will lead us away from the things of God. We always got to come back to the truth. Now, we don't need that kind of disability, because it puts us at that disadvantage and inhibits us from being able to interpret information properly. Like with me, if I was an accountant for somebody, wouldn't be no good. Bad. Real bad. You know, I'd be off all the time. Frustrating. You know, when you're trying to get things to balance out. Because it's just the way it is. And see, it's frustrating sometimes for a Christian because we get double-minded and we know what we have the potential of tapping into, but then we also know where we're at right now. And how do we get from there to there? It's just one step at a time. Usually a change of thinking and how we do it, because that double-mindedness will lead us astray. And I really believe that sometimes we're not getting God's best is because we're not giving God our best. And I found that in my life. You know, I've been saved 30 years. I've been through a lot of different cycles with God. You know, usually I'm pretty steady in a lot of things, but in some areas, you know, I've noticed that, you know, perhaps I've, you know, back, you know, years ago, I had trouble sleeping. I'd wake up tired, didn't really want to study or read, you know, in the mornings like I used to. You know, and that took its toll on me after a while until I kind of realized it and got through that burnout phase and was able to try to make some corrections, because that carnal, you know, carnal thinking is, man, I really need to sleep more than I need God, because I don't want to be tired all day. But that was carnal thinking, because the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? And I wasn't getting that joy, so I settled and I went through just emotions. So the benefits that we can get as we close here of having the mind of Christ. Think about this. Thoughts precede actions, right? What you think determines what you do in every situation. What you think determines how you live. So our thoughts will direct our life. So what are we thinking about? Maybe you're in a bad marriage right now. Maybe things ain't going good. And you're thinking about how good looking that person is that you're working with and how kind they are to you. Don't go there. Don't go there. Because those thoughts will precede a bad action. Right? So control your thoughts. Cast that imagination down. You know, everybody has bad days in their marriage. You know, one of the things that held me strong was, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Mm-hmm. Praise God. I don't know what my wife was quoting, but I know she's quoted a few. Having to live with me. But all those things, so take, you know that a thought will precede an action. So what we think about is important. Next, be nice. It would be nice if we could, you know, I'd like to buy one or create one of these. You know what a thinking cap is? You ever heard that one? You know, if I could put my thinking cap on, I'd like to develop a mind of Christ cap as a fundraiser for the church. You know, people would just buy this and put it on, they'd have the mind of Christ. Now, I know that can't happen, but, you know, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Now, the mind of Christ is a peaceful mind. Do you ever remember Jesus getting all worked up over something other than the money changers? I mean, he's out in a boat. The storm is just raging all around him. Everybody's just freaking out. We're going down. We're going down. Jesus is sleeping. Peaceful. Didn't worry about nothing, because he knew. He had a spiritual understanding of what was really happening there. He focused on, you know, a mind of Christ is a mind that is focused on kingdom life. Now that's, you know, tying in here. The kingdom of God has a certain way of doing things, and we need to focus on that. You know, if we focus on the Father's will instead of our own, even Jesus being the Son of God, God himself, said he's about his Father's business. You know, I know we need to work. You need to pay your bills. But you need to be about Father's business, people. We need to be out evangelizing, leading people to Christ, sharing the love of God. If you just set a goal of maybe touching one or two people a week, in a godly way, amen? And ministering, just doing that. You're focused on the Father's business. And that'll help you get the mind of Christ. You know, it gives us a discerning mind. You know, help us in all discerning spiritual matters. There's a lot of spiritual matters you and I decide about. It'll give us the ability to operate in the wisdom of God. You know, that wisdom is hidden from the carnal mind. The carnal people around you, that's what's amazing. You know, we're around people all the time that don't understand. Remember, you got to be born again to perceive the kingdom of God. That's how we were before we got saved. We didn't understand spiritual matters. They were oblivious. I mean, as a kid, I knew about Jesus, prayed to Him every night, but I didn't really know Him. You know, but once you come into that contact and that revelation, then you can start to understand these things. And it gives us the ability to process information just as Jesus does on how He looks at things and how He sees them. Lastly, we're influenced by God if you have the mind of Christ. The influence by God. You know, it all comes back to what's influencing your life. Many of you have goals and desires. I hope you do. You know, I know some of the goals of my life, let's say, you know, my secular goals. You know, I wanted to, you know, maybe, you know, have a business, you know, or to learn, maybe have a hobby, learn certain things. So, you know, if you get that desire, you find yourself consumed with it. Let yourself be consumed by God. You know, what are we living for? Are we living for Jesus, and do we desire to glorify the Father with our life? Now, this is starting to hit the road a little more. It's a little more intense because it's talking about obedience. And obedience is one of those things we want our kids to do, but we don't want to have to do it. Amen. That's true. We love to see the kids obey, but we don't want to have to obey ourselves. And we got to get back to that place, because I really believe as we're living in the last days, you know, there's going to become a separation between the sheep and the goats. And that we want to make sure that we're part of the sheep crowd. Amen? You know, because the sheep have a shepherd. The goats don't. The goats don't. So the mind of Christ is obtainable. But it's also something, as we mentioned, needs maintained. You know, I've found out in my life, the closer that I am with God, the safer and better off I am. And to me, it all falls back to one kind of easy scripture, is seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and I really believe that's a good scripture to live by. You know, God first. And if we get to that place where we're God first in everything, I believe we'll start to see ourselves grow. I can't stress enough how we can be able to receive from the Spirit of God. It is so amazing. I can't put it to words sometimes when the Spirit of God speaks inside of me and reveals to me things. And God's not a respecter of persons. It's for everybody. It's really for whosoever will. Are we that whosoever? Let's pray.